I'm Sarah Hope, and this is the Kiss My Sass podcast, where I hope to inspire women to be their most authentic selves, no matter what that looks like for them. So on this episode, I got to talk to my very good friend, Manira. She is currently a Japanese teacher in a school in Detroit, but she's going back in a couple months to Japan to teach English to Japanese kids. So we got to talk about what it's like moving to a different country, especially as a woman, and creating a life for yourself there, but what kind of cultural and language barriers exist, and a couple tips for traveling on your own. So that was a really fun conversation. Also, I've definitely learned a couple things since recording her episode. So the audio quality isn't fantastic, but it will be better in the future. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, so yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead and preference, since we started and stopped so many times, that my dog is here. And he's making some noise, so there's really no dealing with that, because this is his house too, I guess, so.
Baby.
Okay, so, we'll say again. So we've been friends since high school.
Yes.
And this year, when did you get home from Japan? In, like, March?
April.
In April?
Mm-hmm. April 22nd.
Okay, because you came to one of my art shows, and it was a huge surprise. So, and then since then, our friendship has definitely, like, taken off.
Yes.
Like, we were friends, but now we're, like, friends.
Right. You know? Officially.
So, that's super cool.
Yeah.
But so, I'm super glad that you're recording this podcast with me being on my second podcast.
Me too. I'll always support you. You know that.
Definitely. So I guess, do you want to just get into it then with the questions?
Sure.
Do you have like a story of like where you've come from that you want to tell? Like how you discovered that speaking Japanese and learning was what you wanted to do?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So let's see. It was when I was really little. I think I was like 7 years old. And I was starting to watch, like, Pokemon, Inuyasha, like, for all my Toonami fans, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it was the light of Dragon Ball Z. And at the end of Inuyasha, there was this song called Fukai Mori. And I was, like, captivated. Like, oh, my gosh, this is beautiful. Like, what language is this? And I just decided, like, I want to learn this language. And, like, after that, I just started getting more deeper into the culture, like, the language and traditions and... One day I was just like, I think I was maybe like 10 or 11 years old. I was like, I want to go to Japan. And my dad was like, yeah, do it. Like, you could do anything you set your mind to. And so I kept doing my research and stuff. And I think it was maybe when I was 13, I decided to like start writing, like learning how to write hiragana and katakana. Not kanji yet. Kanji didn't come until like college because kanji was too freaking hard. I wasn't trying to learn that by myself.
Those like different types of Japanese?
Yep. So hiragana is their first written language.
Okay.
Yep. Because back then they used to only like speak and they didn't write down. But the Chinese came over and introduced kanji. Which is their list. That's why when you look at Chinese and Japanese, you see some of their characters may mean the same thing. But the difference is that the Japanese introduced their own language, which is hiragana.
Okay.
And that's why they put them together. So in a lot of their written language, you'll see like a Chinese character and a Japanese, well, they're both Japanese, but a Chinese character and like hiragana together because, you know, they fused it almost. And then katakana is for foreign words. Like, they'll put your name Sarah. Mm-hmm. They'll be Sarah. Okay.
So they'll, translate it almost into Japanese?
Yup.
Okay.
Like, phonetically.
Okay.
Yup. And so then, you know, they'll write that in katakana. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so that's also for, like, TV. TV is terebi. And, like, menu is menu. Yeah, so like it's just like all in katakana with foreign words, but yeah,
so they don't really have like an alphabet, right? Like each symbol means a different word, or
Now that's with Chinese, but with Japanese, it's more sound. So if you put two of them together, like if you put two hiragana together, you'll get a word.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And also within the kanji, you can have, like, for instance, an animal. If you have like dog or cat, they have a kanji for that. But then they have what they call furigana, which is the phonetic word, which is normally written in hiragana. They have that for the kanji. So when you look at it, you can read it.
Okay.
Yup. It's so difficult to explain. I'm like, I hope I'm doing this right.
Is it as hard to learn as it sounds complicated with you explaining it right now?
Well, you definitely got to do it like sections. So you can learn like hiragana first, then katakana, then kanji, like as you go up.
So that it makes sense as you grow.
Right.
Okay.
Yup. And that's how it went. And then when I got into college, I started learning, speaking and interacting and kanji and all that stuff. And I've been learning for, 7 or 8 years now.
And you're fluent in it?
No, not in the slightest. I can hold a conversation, but if you're asking me to talk about, quantum physics or some shit, I'd be like, nope, can't do that. I don't even know the Japanese word for quantum physics.
No idea what the fuck they're talking about.
Right, I'd be like, well, this is where it ends. So, that was, the pinnacle, I guess you could say.
Okay. Yeah. So, are you, still taking more classes to, learn more, or no?
I'm just keeping it fresh in my mind by, watching shows and listening to, videos and stuff, or watching videos, not listening. But, yeah, it's stuff like that. So, I just keep it fresh, because I really don't know when I'm ever going to use, high vocabulary like that. You know, I don't ever, plan on becoming a scientist in Japan. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll never be fluent, but I'll be good at conversation,
Are there people, when you go to Japan, a lot of people know English, or do you really have to know Japanese?
That depends. Okay. So if you're in Tokyo, there will be a high population of people who do speak English, and they will try to help you. Like, when I first went in 2014, I was in the Tokyo area and also went to Yokohama. And there were a lot of people who could speak English. But when you go, further south, so, we're talking about, Osaka, Nagoya, maybe in Osaka some people can speak it, but a lot of people are at a very basic level of English.
Okay.
So you'll have to learn some Japanese, at least to read the signs and to be able to ask, where's the bathroom? Where's this? How much is this?
Those are basic, important.
Right. Because I know if I didn't know any Japanese, I would be screwed if I went outside of Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you went there, did you end up staying with a family or?
Now, that was the second time.
Yep. Oh, the second time?
Yeah.
So then they knew English and were able to help you?
Only one family knew English really well, because with my program, they asked okay, are you comfortable speaking Japanese more, or do you want a family who could speak English? And I was like, I don't really mind. I want to learn. I want to use my Japanese. So I had one family that spoke no English, so I had to communicate with them in Japanese. Mm-hmm. Then the second family, the mom knew a little bit of English. The dad used some English, but he wasn't very talkative.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third family, the mom, she had a lot of experience with host families.
Okay.
So she had I think 7 people from all over the world come over. No, not at once, but through her life. So she knew how to speak English, and she was a cool ass lady. She was cool. She called me her Japanese, well, not Japanese, but American daughter. And she's my Japanese mommy. And it was so cute. I was it feels so nice.
That's so awesome that they're there are people that are willing to welcome foreign people into their homes to help them with all that stuff.
Exactly. Because some people, my phone was buzzing. Some people are anti-foreign, and it's kind of crazy because I'm in Nagoya, and in Tokyo too, but I didn't see it in Tokyo, but I saw it in Nagoya. They have a whole entire not regime, what would they call that? A party that are anti-foreign. So
just foreign in general, necessarily nobody. American.
Right.
Just foreign.
Nobody. Don't come. And they have a big ass truck. Excuse my language.
No, you can swear on here. You can say fuck. It's all good.
Okay, I was big ass.
Because we were talking about this last night, but that's authentic for me.
Mm.
And some people might not be cool with the swearing, but I'm not going to be anyone that I'm going to be as authentic as possible. Right. And it's just naturally how I speak, and I'm not going to try to stop it for anyone.
Exactly.
This is my podcast.
Don't fucking listen. Don't like them. Okay? No, listen, everybody. No.
Well, and really, when I've looked back at try to figure out, like, why is swearing offensive to people, it's classist. There's not a single place in the Bible where it says, don't say fuck.
Right.
Or shit. You know, right. It's all about, that was poor people slang, and rich people said, don't say fuck because you'll sound poor.
Damn.
That's what it comes from. It's all classism.
That's
so,
some bullshit.
Exactly.
I was like, I'm staying it.
Yeah, so I'm not going to let anyone tell me that it's offensive. I think it's more offensive that you're offended by it.
Right, like, get over it, man.
That you can't just let me be me.
Right.
So, whatever. Like, I try to respect old people, but at the same time, I'm like, get over it.
Right, like, you got a couple more years on this. No, I'm kidding. Oh, that's so mean. Like, you're about to die anyway.
Yeah, no. I'm not really willing to compromise who I am for anyone, especially after dating two guys who were like, don't get in front of my parents, don't let them know that you drink, kind of try to keep your tattoos hidden. Like, I'm not about that life anymore. Never again.
Yeah.
So feel free to swear. Talk about drinking. Talk about sex. It's whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, and the fact that this podcast is about allowing women and inspiring them to be their most authentic selves.
Yeah.
That's who we are.
Right.
So, swear away.
Shit. No. Well, yeah, like, there was a big ass truck with these big ass speakers saying in Japanese, no foreigners, we should keep them out. Da 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 da. It was crazy.
I mean, honestly, though, that's not too far off from what it can be like in certain areas in the U.S.
Right.
So, unfortunately.
Right. And as long as they don't touch me, I mean, I'm not condoning it, but it's definitely not on the level that it is here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, crazy here. That's why, you know, well, that's another part. I'm talking about when I go back, you know, to Japan.
Oh, that you're going to feel
more safe.
More safe.
Yeah, because that's another thing. Like, in Japan, I could walk alone at night. I didn't have to worry about anybody bothering me. I mean, you do have some creepers. You do have people who will stalk you. I had my one roommate. Well, she wasn't my roommate. She was, like, my coworker, but we lived in, like, the same apartment complex. There was a guy, and he was Japanese, and he knocked on her door and was, like, pounding. I was like,
oh, okay. Yeah. For anyone listening that doesn't know me personally, I just have a single hiccup.
So cute.
Yeah, luckily it seems the general consensus is that it's cute.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's so cute.
But if you randomly hear a squeak, that's just me hiccuping once. It's fine.
Right, I was like, oh, that's so adorable. It's like a little baby in the room.
But so someone was knocking on her door.
Yup, and she was scared, and they were like putting their hand in a little mail slot.
Oh.
And it was just scary. So there are your cases of creepers. And I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I had a couple of creepy experiences. Like, this one guy, he sat next to me on the bus. No, it wasn't the bus. It was the train. He sat next to me on the train, and his thigh was, like, touching me. And he just kept getting closer and closer. Mind you, this was a two-seater. And there's, like, this much space. So I'm like, why are you moving closer to me? So that's another thing about being a foreigner, especially a foreign woman in Japan. Some people may take advantage of that and think that you're such a novelty that I must, like, you know, follow you home. I must, like, look at you for a long time or comment something weird, especially in the club. In the club, they think that, you know, it's all hands free. Like, I got groped in the club, especially being a black woman.
Yeah.
Or if you have big boobs or big butt, they just think, wow, this is new. I want to touch. It's just really gross.
There's no real. Well, is crime in general lower in Japan?
Definitely.
Why? Do you know? Is there any, like, culture?
Yeah,
reasons?
Culture. It's like, oh, everybody says this, but the nail that sticks out gets hammered down. So everybody just tries to keep in line, stay complacent, don't really, you know, bother anybody. But you will see some people who are kind of, like, out of it or weird. Actually, it was this one time, it was typhoon season, and during typhoon season, they like will shut down the trains.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one guy, he was living, he was like, you need to open up these trains because I gotta get home. Da, 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 da. And everybody was looking at him like, he must not be Japanese, because Japanese people are supposed to be quiet. They're supposed to just take it. Mm. And as they say, it's called shogunai. It can't be helped. So it's like, you can't complain about it because it can't be helped. So why are you screaming? Why are you, you yelling? You must not be Japanese. So anything outside of that like stereotype of being quiet in line, you know, trying to like fit in, you must not be Japanese, you must be different type of thing.
Oh.
So it's really weird like that, but I've witnessed some things where I'm like, dang, like, this is totally against the stereotype of Japanese. Like, I honestly thought before coming to Japan and living with Japanese families that everybody was quiet, that the mom would just be a stay-at-home mom or be, like, you know, really meek and quiet. But
mm-hmm.
I had pretty much all of my Japanese host moms were funny, loud, they enjoyed themselves. Like, they were all okay. quiet and meek. Like, they were cool-ass people.
Well, that's what I was going to ask next is, like, that sounds cool because no crime, but do you think that kind of mentality stifles people's personality?
Definitely.
Oh, it does?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so people don't feel free to be whoever they want?
Right.
So that's kind of, like, the trade-off then is, right. like, sure, there's less crime, but also, like, you... no one really feels free to be themselves.
Exactly. It's so sad.
That's a bummer.
Right. But when they do have crimes, they're crazy ones. Like when I was back there in 2015, it was insane. It was these two kids and they were killed. They were abducted from a 7-Eleven and killed.
Oh, geez.
Yup. And it was just all over the news for weeks and weeks and weeks. And like,
it was like, something actually happened here, kind of like a small town.
Right. And it was just disturbing. It was so scary. I was like, ooh. And even recently, I know this is terrible, but this lady, I think it was in Osaka. Like, a lot of crazy shit happens in Osaka. I'm sorry to say. But Osaka people are a different breed of, like, Japanese. So they could be crazy. Like, this one lady, she had a bucket full of her dead children in her closet.
What?
From all the way from 1993. So she would have babies, and then she would kill them, and then put them in her closet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then one guy on a train, he stabbed another, a younger dude, because he was sitting in the zone where it's only for elderly people, sick people, and pregnant women.
Mm-hmm.
And so he thought that was so awful. So as soon as he got off the train, he stabbed them.
Oh my God.
Osaka's kind of rough. I'm sorry. But to me, in my experience, from what I saw, Osaka's rough. Like,
yeah.
Yakuza are down there also. That's like the hub. Oh, Yakuza is like the gangsters, the mob kind of thing.
Oh.
So they're scary too.
They probably play a big role in that then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scary.
Oh, yeah, maybe just stay away from there when you go
to I know, but Osaka's lit though. Low key.
Like a good party scene.
Yeah, like I was cracking it out in the club, like, yeah. And they play some good music.
Getting it.
Right. I'm like, sorry.
Oh, okay. So you went to Japan to teach English to Japanese kids.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that like?
That was fun, but tiring.
Uh-huh.
So at my school in Anjo, I was a kids teacher. So they had two different types of teaching job or teaching positions. It was one that was either all adults or mostly kids.
Mm-hmm.
I was mostly kids. So I taught little babies all the way to adults. Sometimes, like if a extra student came in, mm-hmm. or if they wanted to like reschedule, I was the person to take those jobs, or not the job, but the classes. So with the babies, it was cute, but they would cry a lot. And I mean,
yeah,
it was okay in the sense that the mom was there to like calm them down.
Oh, their moms were there with them?
It was mommy and me classes.
Oh, they were so adorable. Cute. So you were teaching the parents as well?
Right. So I would just talk to them. Yeah.
And then there's less responsibility on you to take care of the kids and keep them behaving.
Right.
That's cool.
Right.
Okay.
This whole little girl, Coco, she's my favorite. Because she would dance and I would dance and copy me and try to do the same things that I would do. And it was just such a cute experience. But then on those Saturdays were rough because I had 7 classes in a day. So it'd be back to back to back. I worked from, 11 to 9:30-ish. And that was a long ass time. Like, I felt so tired on Saturdays because, it was just full of kids. Now, maybe if you're like an adult teacher, you won't feel that strain because all you have to do is just talk with them. Mm-hmm. And at that company, they had a pretty good level of students who knew good enough English so you could keep on asking questions like the hows and the whys and the who and all that stuff. So it was pretty easy, but those kid classes, sometimes they just be, they be cracking me up. But sometimes I'm like, y'all need to focus. But it was a good experience overall, I think.
Well, at least it sounds like it was fun.
Yeah. Too.
And you got to do what you're passionate about.
Right.
So that's super cool. So now you teach Japanese to kids who speak English here in Detroit.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's different.
It's more of a challenge?
Yeah. Aww. Because at this school, the main teacher is supposed to know Japanese, but she doesn't. Mm. So I have to be kind of like the parrot. I feel like I'm saying parent, but I mean parrot, like squawk.
Oh.
like the parrot where I'm just speaking out this is it. This is this. This is that. And it doesn't feel as enjoyable as being the main teacher and, talking to them in English and them just responding, that type of thing. So I feel kind of weird. And also the attitudes of the kids is a little different. I mean, they're cute and innocent, but they have this kind of level of I don't want to say taintedness. But some of them say some things that I'm like, where you learn that from?
They've got that Detroit edge kind
of
thing.
Yeah, and I'm like, who taught you this? You're only in kindergarten.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and you're learning this and that. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So in that sense, it's very different. And, I'm trying to, be there for them and be this way. Okay, let's not say this, type of thing. But in Japan, I mean, the worst a kid would say was poop, And I'd be like, ha-ha, don't say poop. And that's it. But they're like, I want to have sex with you.
Oh my God. In kindergarten?
Yes. And when I told the boy, I was like, you don't say that. Why are you saying this to her? Well, I was saying it to my lunchbox. You shouldn't be saying that, period. I was disturbed.
And I'm sure that doesn't do good things for your view on humanity.
Right. Because he was teaching this little kid.
Seriously.
And that's another thing in Japan and in America, or I guess smaller Detroit, I feel like the parents matter. The parents are the key. In Japan, the parents push the kids. So, I don't care if you're tired. I don't care if you don't want to learn English. You're going to learn English. You're going to enjoy it because I'm putting you in this school. Mm-hmm. But in America or Detroit, it's more like, here's my kids. Teach them something.
Take them while I do whatever.
Exactly. Kind of thing. And I'm just like, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more.
It's like you're not just teaching them Japanese. You also kind of have to teach them social skills.
Exactly.
Oh, that sounds a lot harder.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So that's probably part of the reason you're going back to Japan.
Kind of, sort of.
Well, you just seem like you love Japan so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was safe. Yeah. And everything was they give, the company gave me an apartment.
Oh, wow.
They helped me with my bank account, my insurance, setting that all up. When I was sick, they had one of my Japanese teachers come with me to the doctor and help me, translate and, get the right medicine and stuff like that. Everything was assisted. And for me, if you're more independent, to each their own, but for me, being in a whole new country and having to navigate all that by myself, no matter what level of Japanese I'm at, it's still nerve-wracking because you're interacting right. with people that you've never seen before. You don't know how they're going to treat you as a foreigner. But with that extra assistance, it's like, oh, I don't have to be so worried, especially with apartments. Because, unfortunately, in Japan, it's hard for foreigners to get apartments. Mm-hmm. They have, like, specific apartments for, like, foreigners. Like, they have Sakura House. They have Leo Palace, which is, like, yeah, they're okay. I mean, I was comfortable in my Leo Palace. Mm-hmm. I don't know about anybody else, but I liked it. But if you're trying to go to, like, an upscale place in Tokyo or something like that, you might not get the apartment just because you're foreign.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, 'cause one stupid foreigner spoiled the bunch because they don't know how to take care of the house. Because they say, like, well, except for my apartment. My apartment was Western style.
Okay.
So they have different kind of apartments. They have Western style, which have, like, carpets and wood floors. And then they have Japanese style. And the Japanese style has tatami mats, which are just, like, bamboo mats or whatever. And it's, like, a certain type of way you got to take care of them. And if you don't know how to take care of them, you're going to mess it up. And it's expensive to replace. So somebody, I guess, I heard through the grapevine, messed that shit up. And now they're like, nah. No more foreigners.
For everyone.
Right. I'm like, I can try. I can do it. I've learned how to clean them. I'm like, I can try. But
when it's through that company, they trust the company.
Right.
And so that's very helpful.
Exactly.
So was it scary traveling alone to a new country? Like, you didn't know anyone, did you?
Nope.
So, yeah, I think that's one thing that definitely stops a lot of people, especially women, from following their dreams is
right.
It's in a new country where they don't know the language 100% or they're afraid to go alone or don't know anyone.
Right.
Or so how did you get over that hurdle?
Well, it was tough.
Yeah.
So when I went the second time, it was a disaster. When I travel. Okay. Because I went to Toronto. And, okay, AT&T, or at least for my family plan, we couldn't, like, keep in contact in Toronto.
Okay, like, you couldn't, like,
call.
The cell phone network wouldn't work through Canada.
Right. So I went there to the Toronto Pearson International Airport.
Because it's cheaper to fly through there, right?
Right,
okay.
Right, like $600 to $800 cheaper.
Damn.
Yeah. That's why I was like, Canada, here I come. Shit. And I thought that I would be okay with no visa. I didn't do any research, which is another thing. Put a big old star next to this. Do your fucking research about visas and, you know, travel things, because that fucking matters. I was so scared. Like, it made my heart drop. Here we go.
Do you have to get a visa just to travel or to work specifically?
It depends on the country. So in Japan.
So definitely research the country.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because in Japan, for Americans, I don't know about Canadians, but in America, you have to have a visa if you're staying more than 3 months.
Okay.
So that's where I messed up, because I had my return for December 23rd. Yeah, December 23rd. But I was going, like, June 22nd or 24th. So, you
so
know, that's
like
more.
6 months. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, oh, shit. The lady goes, I go up to the kiosk, and the lady comes up to me because my ticket isn't printing out. I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, oh, do you have your visa with you? Hey, baby. Oh,
bud.
He's like, I'll tell the story.
You lay down, bud.
There you go. You can lay on me, but not on my phone, no.
Yeah. But he always wants to be in people's lives.
I know. He's like, I just want a kiss.
Bud, we're trying to work.
He's about to lay down. He's making
room. You gotta lay down.
He's all up in the...
You want to speak? You got something to say?
I want to tell my story next. I know.
You got something to say?
Like, I'll tell you a story about how I found my mommy, Sarah.
Aww.
Like, here I go. He's so cute.
I know.
He's just chilling.
For everyone who can't see, Bud just is like
poised to speak right into the microphone if he could speak. But okay. Also standing over Manira on the couch.
With his big old belly.
Are you just looking for attention? Can we continue, bud? Are we good to go?
He's like,
Is that a yes? Okay. He's like, So your ticket wasn't printing at the kiosk.
Right.
The lady came over and was like, do you have your visa? I was like, oh, a visa? No, I don't have a visa. She's like, well, I'm sorry, sweetheart, but then you can't go to Japan because your visa should be, you know, in, like, you should have your visa because you're staying more than 3 months. So I was freaking out. She was like, but you could try to reschedule the returning flight so you can catch this plane. Mm-hmm. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, but my phone doesn't work here. What should I do? So I sat there. I was trying to hold back tears. Because this was my very first time traveling alone. Because the first time I went with my other friend, Brianna. This time I was going completely by myself. So I was like, shit, what should I do? I was like, Manira, don't cry. Manira, don't cry. So I went to the payphone. I put in my little Canadian coins.
Aww.
And I called JAL, Japan Airlines. And I was like, hi, I'd like to reschedule my flight. I don't have a visa. And they're like, okay, that'll be $600. And I'm like, man. So luckily I have my credit card. I put that shit on my credit card.
Oh, wow.
But guess what?
You made it? You got to go?
Nope.
Oh, what?
I missed my flight. I go right back up to the lady. I'm like, okay, I changed my flight. She's like, oh, no, sweetie. I don't think you can make it through the security because it leaves in about 30 minutes. I don't think you'll make it. And I'm just like,
are you fucking
my heart
me?
Was like sinking. I couldn't call my mom. I couldn't call my sister. I couldn't call anybody to comfort me. So in that moment, I had to just buckle in, choke back the tears, get my ass a motel, get me some food to eat, and wait until the next day. Luckily, they didn't charge me to, like, switch my flight.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because I was about to be like, this shit is insane.
Right, where's this money about to come from?
Right. And she was like, don't worry, sweetie, you can just get the flight tomorrow.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and so I made sure I got up 4 hours prior to the damn flight, you know, and then I was like, I don't want to be, you know, stuck in no other mess. That's why I'm getting here 4 hours early. So if something else comes up, I can handle it and get on that flight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my motto ever since. So every time I travel, I make sure I get out the house 4 hours prior. I don't care if I'm sitting there for 2 hours just staring into space. I'm like, at least I'm here waiting for that plane.
Right. I always bring a book for that reason.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. Like, I need to be there early.
Right.
Like, even if I'm waiting for 2 fucking hours because I got through security like that.
Right.
Just bring a book and educate yourself.
Exactly. Look nice and smart and, you know, enrich your soul with something good. Which, dude, that was the scariest part. But after that, it's been pretty smooth sailing. Like, as a woman traveling, all you gotta do is just watch your surroundings, depending on the country. Because in Japan, it's, like, people don't really bother you. Like, nobody really bothered me. Yeah, nobody really bothered me, like, during traveling times. Because, I mean, they see a foreigner, they're like, oh, a foreigner. Bop, 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 bop. But, like, if you want to do nightlife and there's drunk people, you got to kind of be careful. Because I had a couple of instances where there's some guys that were, like, both foreigner and Japanese who try to, like, touch me and grab me and all this other stuff. So you got to be careful of that. But, yeah, do your research. Know what you're going to bring. Know what you should expect from that culture. Like, research is key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, was there, like, a major culture shock? Because there are some things, like, is it pretty easy to offend people over there just by casually, or is that just my perception of Japan based on American movies or whatever?
Yes and no. So, like, a lot of the times, people would be like, oh, they're not Japanese, so of course they do that type of shit.
So there's a little leeway because of...
Right, because you're foreign.
All right.
But if you get in, like, a good relation with somebody who's Japanese and you come to their house, you're expected to be a little bit more Japanese, and relationships, too. Like, I haven't been in a relationship with a Japanese person, but I've heard that over time they expect you to become like a Japanese woman, like cook, clean, stay at home, behave in the manner of like a Japanese woman. But for me, it's been more of like, okay, don't forget to take off your shoes when you come in the house.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And chopsticks. Don't be surprised if you use chopsticks.
Oh,
and
really?
Wow, bikurishita, skaimasu. And I'm like, yes, I can. This is like really weird. I'm just sitting there eating. But I think a weird thing for me in my experience is that a lot of people like looked at me and thought maybe I was like half Japanese or something. It was really weird.
Ooh, buddy. Chill. Thank you. Please.
Yeah, I want to hear this story.
I have. Lay down.
He's so cute.
Lay down, dude.
Lay down.
Lay down.
Hey. Oh, he's giving me a kiss.
I know.
He's so cute.
I know. Paws. You need attention. I love you so much, but we're doing the thing. Thank you.
Oh!
You got his little
finger. Your nose.
Got his spot. Okay, bud. Are you going to lay down so we can finish this? He's not even looking me in the eye.
He's like, no, I don't want to.
But I had some people treat me like I was Japanese. I'm looking around like, I'm clearly brown. I'm not Japanese, but they would talk to me in Japanese. And at that time, when I was there the first time, when I put in my blue contacts, they tried to talk to me in English. And I'm like, this is a weird-ass thing. But the weirdest thing, though. I know this is going way off topic.
It's okay.
But the weirdest thing, though, was when I was at the onsen, back when I was working there, and I was just chilling, like, picture it, in the meme of Squidward laying back on his lawn chair with sunglasses on. Like, that was me. I was just sitting back chilling. And then this lady goes, like, ano, sumimasen. And I'm looking around like, who the fuck are you talking to me? And she's just like, hafu desu ka? Which means, are you half? And I'm like, no. She's like, oh, well, my girls are half, and I just thought that you could tell me, like, this is all Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you could, like give me some, like, advice on how to raise hafu girls. Like, what was it like growing up half? After I told her I'm not half. And I'm just sitting there, like, mind you, in the onsen, you gotta be naked. Oh. So I'm in the tub, like, all sprawled out, all naked. And I'm just like, I just, like, curled up like a clam. I was like, hello there. No, I'm not.
Don't talk to me while I'm naked.
Exactly. I'm trying to relax. And she asked me about being half, and I already told her no. Then she's like, oh, well, meet my girls. These girls are like 10 or 8, two of them.
Real appropriate.
Yep. And they just come over. And they're just walking. I'm like, oh. And I'm just like burying myself deeper in the water, like dunking myself. I'm like, hello. Like freaking off of Mulan. You know, when she was in the water.
And all the guys come cannonballing
in. Right. And she's just like trying to like keep herself covered. That was me.
Aww.
And I'm just like, And they're just like, oh, look. Hafu. I'm like, I'm not. It was so awkward. And we're just standing there. Oh, she was there. We're standing there. I was just in the tub. And I'm like, well, nice to meet you.
Bye now.
Right.
Go away.
And the mom had the nerve to be like, practice your English to me. And I'm like, I'm trying to relax.
She told you to practice your English?
No, she told the kids.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm trying to relax. I don't want to be seated anew. I mean, well, I could be seated anew, but... It's like, I don't want to be...
Talking to people.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to be Squidward relaxing on my lawn chair, man. I'm not trying to talk to nobody.
Oh.
That shit was so uncomfortable.
Buddy.
But, ooh. But,
You're coming in hot. You're going to headbutt someone.
I was like,
boop. Oops. You lay down, bud.
He's like, I smell the Cheetos.
You going to lay down?
Yes.
You lay down.
He's like, I come on, bud.
Good boy.
He's so cute.
Oh, is that your
that
toy?
Is that
a
little
crocodile? Oh.
Yes.
He's so cute. Okay,
there you go, bud. Chew on that.
Good boy. But yeah, sorry, I kind of went off. No, it's all good. Tangents are fine. You've got plenty of time.
Well, yeah, that was one of the shockers. I was like, motherfucker. Weird.
But for to like kind of go back, for the most part, just being aware and researching your culture when you're traveling, especially alone as a woman.
Right.
Did you feel like you needed to carry any kind of protection, like mace or like
no? But there's some, like, I heard some women do if you live there for a long time and they had like some weird encounters, like depending on where you live, because like anywhere there's like, you know, crimes, you got to take precautions and stuff like that, especially when you are in the minority, in Japan, they will believe the Japanese person before you.
Oh yeah.
So it's good to carry protection, to know the laws, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So use mace, but don't be, you know, don't be butterfingers with it and want to use it on everybody, because a lot of Japanese, at least in my experience, some of them just want to get to know you because you're foreign. They don't want to attack you. Now, if you find yourself in a situation where it's like, I got to use my mace because this guy's coming on me, touching me, grabbing me, pulling me, do that. But if they're coming up behind you, just like tap you on the shoulder. Don't be like, whip it out. Like, don't be so loose with it.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with carrying protection, but you got to be careful of what you bring. Because I think mace is banned.
Well, you can't really
Japan.
Bring it on the plane. Oh, like banned in Japan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another thing.
Don't bring weapons on the plane.
Please don't. You will be deported and probably banned from the country.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because they have a long list of things you shouldn't bring. Like, you can't even bring NyQuil, DayQuil,
really?
Some cramp medicine. I think you bring ibuprofen, but you can't. Pepto-Bismol, I think you can't bring. There's like a long list of stuff you can't bring because it's banned in Japan. And there's some weapons, like, I don't think you can bring, like, a butterfly knife. It's like a butter knife you can't bring.
We can't even have those here, can you?
I don't think so.
I mean, I have a pocket knife that is, like, I think the long here is under 3 inches, the blade. So that's what I have for here. But I mean, I wouldn't ever bring that on a fucking plane.
Right. Or in the country.
Right.
Just
to get to
shit.
Somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Oh! Also, as a woman, like, traveling around Japan, make sure that you, my mom was like, I know. No, I don't. In the more feminine things, make sure you bring some sanitary pads. Because
do they not have them?
They do, but they're a little different from what you're used to. So, like, they don't really have wings on their pads.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a weird thing about Japan is that they're kind of, I mean, they're very behind compared to America in this treatment of women, even with, like, things of, like, your menstrual cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you go and, well, when I went and got some, they put it in a black bag so nobody knows that you're on your period. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
But, like, in America, you just grab it, pay for it, and you can walk out without a bag. But they have a specific black opaque bag that they put your shit in, like,
I think it's almost like drugs or something.
Right. I'm like, nobody needs to know you're on your period. Uh-huh. Here you go, ma'am. They're so discreet with that shit. It's just weird.
So be prepared.
Right.
Interesting. What about, like, being treated as a professional woman in Japan? Because it seems like the women there are mostly stay-at-home women. Is it weird for women to have a career there? Or is it just, like,
it depends on your, what was it, the type of job. Mm-hmm. So if you're in corporate, you got to choose between your family or being single. Actually, I was talking about this with my mom earlier today. A lot of women choose their careers instead of getting married and having kids because they want to be free. They don't want to be a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
So especially in the corporate world, you got to choose, like, do I want this job or do I want to have a husband and kids and stay at home? But for me, as a foreigner, it was a little different. You got to wear makeup.
Like, you have to?
Yeah.
Or what? And they'll send you home?
It'll look unprofessional.
I mean, I guess people say that here too, but that's not, but it's not really pushed on you. Yeah.
Right. Because my one friend, she worked in Inuyama at a different school, and she doesn't wear makeup. She hates wearing makeup. But she said her manager pulled her aside and was like, oh, you know, you should wear some makeup. You know, it'd look more professional. Uh-huh. And after that, she would wear makeup more often because, you know, it's all about selling something.
Uh-huh.
And you got to sell that image of the friendly, cool, happy foreigner. And if you come in being your natural self, that's not good enough for them, especially uh-huh. in the women. Then also, it's the attitude. So, okay, in my school, we had all girls except for one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was able to
like
get
teachers?
Away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was able to get away with most of the stuff that girls wouldn't be able to get away with. Like, if we had, like, kind of like a sad, somber face, they just look at us like, oh, what the...
But, they tell you to smile?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If the guy, I'm not going to say his name, I'm going to call him Samuel.
Okay.
Because it's so off of his name. But Samuel, when he would come in looking all somber or whatever, they'd be like, oh, Samuel, what's up? Da-da-da-da. Why you do like this? Like, they would really just, like, juice it up to where mm-hmm. they're just, like, totally different character between a normal woman and a man. Mm-hmm. It was just ridiculous. And then they would, like, joke with them, kind of flirt with them and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is so extra. Like, why are you being like this? But when it came to me and my other coworker, I'm going to call her, I'm going to say Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Because I looked at you, I was like, Sarah.
But, like, Janine.
Yeah, Janine. When it came to Janine, that's a good one. When it came to Janine and me, they were like, oh, whatever. Did you do this? Did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
But they have a different level of respect for men than they do women. Women are like, you gotta wear makeup, you have to have a happy attitude all the time. You know, you gotta be straightforward in the sense of like, did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? But with Samuel, it was like, oh, so what happened? What happened at Hombu? Which is like headquarters.
Okay.
What happened at Hombu? Oh, we did this, set of third, da, 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 da. And he wasn't allowed to say a whole story, but with the girls, it was like, we did A, B, and C, that's it. No funny story in between. It was just very weird. Like, I only made one friend, and it's only because we were like little cubby mates,
uh-huh.
and we were sitting right next to each other, and we would help each other out with, like, different things, but the other ladies, they were kind of like, womp.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you see any, like, progress being made with like women's rights and freedom in the culture, or do you think that's just gonna stay that way because of that's how the culture is?
Well, Abe is trying to do this whole thing where it's like, bring women to the workforce, let's help women.
Is that the company you work for?
Shinzo Abe is the prime minister of Japan.
Oh, my bad.
I don't think I could say the company I work for, but it starts
with
an A.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. You don't have to risk it or anything. I was just like, what is this? But, okay, so he's the prime minister, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he's trying to, like, push for, but it's not much happening. Like, he let women come into his cabinet and stuff like that, but they were scrutinized. Like, this one lady, all she did was wear, like, a red scarf or something, and the news just blew up, like, why is she wearing this red scarf? It was just ridiculous. It was nuts. Like, it's so crazy when it comes to women's rights in Japan, because, you know, they see women literally as baby makers,
mm-hmm.
and I hope it'll change. I feel like it'll change, but it's going to take a long-ass time, because another thing is, the ratio of elderly people and younger people is very high. There's like, it's an upside down pyramid. So like, you got
there's a lot of old people.
Yep, and not a lot of young people.
So they all kind of got to die. Is that basically the harsh way of putting it?
Kind of, yeah. And, you know, they're just stubborn. They overrule.
Yeah.
They overrule all the decisions type of thing. And it's going to take a lot. Because I don't know if you heard about the guy. I mean, this isn't about women's rights, but it just shows you how backwards it is over there. The guy was like, well, I think he was part of, like, the cabinet or whatever. He's like, I don't know how to work a computer. And he's part of, like, technological affairs or something like that.
What?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know how to use a computer. And I'm like, then why are you on that? Why in this position? Like, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Well, especially when, at least for me, like, the perception of Japan is that they're super advanced in technology.
Mm-hmm. Wi-Fi's a bitch.
Really?
You better bring your own portable Wi-Fi that you can get at the airport or you can get at Don Quixote.
Okay.
Yeah, because that is a bitch. I'm up here. I was in Shibuya. I was like, I'll be able to do this. Oh, shit. I have nothing. I have absolutely no service here. And then Starbucks is always full as hell.
Because they have good Wi-Fi?
Yup.
That makes sense.
And it's slow. I'm like, shit! It was terrible. But, I mean, you'll be surprised. Like, everybody's like, technology, Japan. Maybe in Tokyo, maybe.
Tokyo specifically, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
But the rest of Japan is a little bit behind?
Yup. Like, you take one train and you stay on there for too long, you be in the Inaka, which is the countryside. You be like, where am I? So many rice paddies. It's like scary. That happened to me like a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just like missed your stop or something.
Yeah, but I looked around, I was like, this doesn't look like where I'm supposed to be. This shit was crazy.
But so is that culture for women something that you're worried about going back? Or do you think you'll be fine, especially because you're foreign?
I think I'll be fine.
Okay, good. Well, good. Then I'm glad for you.
Yeah. And that's another thing with, like, foreign women, they don't help hold them to a standard. Well, I guess foreigners in general, they don't hold them to a high standard like they would a Japanese. They kind of expect us not to be hard workers, which gives you, like, room to show them, like, I could be a hard worker. Watch this. But don't take advantage of that because you don't want to be a bad, you know, teacher or a bad whatever you end up being, like a translator or whatever over there. You don't want to be a bad example for foreigners.
Absolutely. But at least, like, with the cultural stuff, there's a little bit of leeway so you're not, like, out here offending everyone over everything.
Right.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, shit, I think we covered pretty much everything. What about dreams for the future? I mean, you're going back to Japan this year.
Yes!
How long are you staying?
Okay, this time I'm going to try to stay for 2 years or more. It depends, because I feel like I did a lot of growing. And when I came home, I had a goal of, like, you know, getting my driver's license and seeing my grandma turn 90 and seeing my new little nephew and stuff like that. And I also grew here as well, like, you know, just mentally and spiritually and stuff like that. So I'm like, I want to try to use what I learned at home for Japan. Because, another thing was, like, the emotional bit of, like, staying in another country for a long time working.
And, like, away from, like, your family and friends that you had
right,
here.
Right, exactly. That was hard.
I bet. Like, even I went on a 2-week road trip on my own where, and I even saw some friends, and that was hard for me, like, being away from people. So I can only imagine, like, what it's like moving to a new country.
Yeah, because that's shit, because you're not only are you trying to adjust to the culture, you're trying to adjust to this new job, you're trying to find your niche. And it's so easy to be in that gaijin bubble, which is a foreigner bubble, where you stick with the people that you work with or who's in your company that's also foreign. You stick with them and you go here and you go there. And it, like, shelters you from, you know, going out and experiencing other Japanese people. But when you have your little foreign bubble, you're like, well, these are the people that are like me kind of type of thing. But I encourage you to get out your Gaijin bubble or your foreigner bubble, because that's what I wish I did. I wish I got out more, because, you know, I came there for a reason, not just to hang out with the foreigners. I came out there to explore the culture and the people. So, yeah, have your foreign friends, but don't stay in there, you know.
But at least you have those people that make it a little easier, you know, like, they speak English too.
Right.
And it's like, at least you have a base to start from where you're not, like, completely alone.
Exactly.
So.
But then there's a double-edged sword, because sometimes, like, okay, they'll be gone home, like, they'll go home after a year. Because a lot of people, well, how do I put this? It's a high turnover rate in English education in Japan,
okay,
from what I know. So every year, there's new people coming in, new people going out. And sometimes, there may be people in the middle of the year, like some people who just have so much anxiety about the job or just don't like teaching. They found out, oh, shit, this isn't for me. They just up and leave. It's a high turnover rate. And, you know, it gets difficult because when you build those relationships and you're like, this is my person, and then they leave.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, no, I got to find a new friend. Mm-hmm. That's why I encourage people to get outside of their little gaijin bubble. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, if this person leaves, it's not the end of the world. You have your little Japanese friend over here. I mean, if you just go to Japan, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Anywhere. Any right. culture. And it's like, locals know the spots to go that aren't just like tourist traps
right.
and everything.
Exactly.
So that's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
Any other, like, kind of goals or dreams for the future besides going back to Japan? Or?
No, kidding. My little weird slurp. I don't know. I want a man. I just want some dick. I don't even know that SZA song. I just need some love. Oh, no, because it's been pretty lonely over there. So I really want to try dating. Because last year, it was all about, or rather 2018 was all about me adjusting, trying to figure out where I want to be in Japan and how I want to live my life. But now I feel more comfortable with, like, okay, Japan is where I want to be. Let's try to work it out. I know what triggers me. I know what makes me feel, you know, lonely and sad. And I know how to bring myself out of it. Because I mean, I'll be honest, I almost quit in November. I was like, I don't know if I could do this.
Aww.
But my mom was like, Manira, you made a promise. You signed that contract. You should stay there for that full contract. And I did. So just know, do your research. Be emotionally stable. Like, if you're dealing with depression, make sure you have your medication.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have, you know, strategies and coping mechanisms to help you with that. Because being in another country where you're all by yourself can be triggering and it can hurt you.
Definitely.
But just know you're responsible for your own feelings and you gotta talk to somebody. You gotta be the one who reaches out.
Yeah.
Yup. So
those are good tips for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's my goal. Get a man.
Find someone who definitely like respects you
and exactly. doesn't
expect you to like fit into that
right
at home role or anything.
Because I'm not a Japanese woman. Oh, that's another thing. Oops, I forgot. Another thing about being a foreign woman is the way you dress.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, in America, we can wear our cleavage out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can wear booty shorts. They might be a little bit too risque. But in Japan, you can wear your booty. I mean, you can wear your booty. You can wear your shirts all the way up to, like your cheeks.
Uh-huh.
And it's okay. But if you show that cleavage, if you show too much shoulder, they look at you like, ooh, she's loose. Isn't that uh-huh. nutty? But in America, it's opposite. I mean, maybe the cleavage, yeah. But it's not as bad as in Japan. Like, they look at you like you're a skank or something. Like, if you wear your cleavage out. Yeah, but I say to this, fuck that. Because I want to be myself. And if I want to wear my little boobies out, I'm going to do it. Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's easy to say here at least, but I can only imagine that that's like intimidating to challenge an entire culture and be like,
right.
I'll do it anyway.
Right. Because my thing is, it's not religious. It's just
right.
their preference. Like, if I went to Thailand and they said, okay, at this temple, you can't wear your cleavage out, can't wear your legs out, can't wear your shoulders out. You know I will respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just a cultural thing where you're like, oh, I mean, it's not religious or anything. It's just, you
we
know,
just
Japanese
think you're
people
a hoe,
don't do it.
Kind of,
right.
Yeah,
I'm
that,
like,
that bullshit.
Think I'm a hoe then. I know who I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, as long as you know what you're about, like, no one else really matters.
Right.
Just, yeah, be safe. Because I love you.
Yes, I will. I'll be showing out like, no kidding.
Shake that booty.
No, I will.
So where can people find you on social media?
Well, I have a YouTube channel. It's not very, you know, good. I mean, I'm a newbie.
Well, that could be your goal for 2019. Is do teach Japanese on your channel, or are you just doing vlogging?
Just vlogging.
Okay.
So, like, I recently cranked out 3 random-ass videos that I had on my phone because my iCloud said it was full. So I was like, let me just make these videos. And that's another hard-ass thing is making videos.
But yeah.
My YouTube is, hey, it's Mooney.
How do you spell Mooney?
M-U-N-I.
Okay, so like the beginning of Manera.
Yeah, yeah. And then my Instagram is, Mooney Uiko. I was like, wait a minute, how can I forget my name? Mooney Uiko.
So do you want to spell that?
It's M-U-N-I-U-W-I-K-O. So okay. It's the first 4 letters of my first name, 3 letters of my middle name, and 2 letters of my last name.
Okay, and if you write those down for me, I'll put them in the show notes, too.
I will, thank you.
You're welcome. Is that something that you want to do, is expand your social media, or is it just a little bit of, like, a fun thing?
Fun thing.
Okay.
You know, like, memories.
That's totally fine. Yeah. I was curious.
Because, you know what, I don't want to be, like, you know, swept up in that whole, like, mm-hmm. I need people to follow me to feel validated. I just want to have fun. And if you like it and you want to have fun with me too, then come on, you know?
Yeah. That's perfectly acceptable. For me, I want to, like, get this podcast and my message and my art out there, so I'm like, give me the follower.
Right, exactly. But that's good. It's equal exchange.
Yeah,
you put in the work, and you get that reciprocated by
people
watching.
Putting that content out there, this encouragement for women.
Right.
Is there anything else you want to say before we finish?
Yes.
Okay.
Sarah, thank you for having me. And I want you to...
God.
Of course, I'll always support you.
Aww.
And I want you to come visit me.
I want to. I definitely, especially if you're going to be there and can, like, show me stuff,
definitely.
I want to come, like.
So, as I said in the very beginning, I've definitely learned a lot since recording Manera's episode. And one thing I learned is not to record from the website I'm using to build these podcasts and to use an actual outside source to record it, because I found out a couple times that the website doesn't save the audio when it finishes, when you hit stop recording. So we lost a little bit of content at the end there, but what we ended up talking about is I want to go visit Manera in Japan, so she'll be able to show me around and that'll be super fun. But we also talked about going, taking a flight over to South Korea to hang out with her friend Kim and maybe going to Thailand so I can fulfill a lifelong dream of wanting to work on an elephant sanctuary. I found one there that that doesn't make their elephants do tricks or give rides. It's like a real sanctuary, and your interaction with the elephants is just taking care of them and feeding them and bathing them. Their purpose isn't to entertain you, so that would be super cool. But so, yeah. All right, thank you guys so much for listening. It would mean the absolute world to me if you would subscribe, leave a review, and share this with your friends. I'm going to be putting out a new episode every Wednesday, and one of the things that I'm going to be doing is transcribing every podcast into blog form so that the hearing impaired and anyone who just genuinely prefers to read can also enjoy the podcast. So you can find information about all of that on my social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube as Sarah Hope Media, and I'll put all of those links in the show notes. So thank you again, and I really, really hope you enjoyed.